Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
How's everybody doing tonight? So now I'm hot. I was freezing cold because I went to my son's football game and, you know, sitting outside. So I come home and I'm like, I need a turtleneck. And I get all warmed up and I get here and I'm like, whoa. I'm thinking the priest is going to get hotter. Holla. Amen. So a pastor friend of Pastor Matt and I, he sent us this little video, and it was one of those cold case things, and he said, watch this, I baptized this guy. So we're watching it, well, and it's a cold case from like the either late 70s or early 80s, and it was a double homicide, and during that time, there was this man called Dave Hunt, and it was Dave Hunt's gang, and they were kind of they were criminals at that point, but just not felony, right? They were doing the misdemeanors, right? They were, you know, kind of doing some misdemeanor crimes. They had not done anything big or anything, and so when these people were found murdered, they immediately went to Dave Hunt, because he kind of looked like the photo that they put out. And so they interviewed his gang and stuff. And at, like I said, at this time, they had done nothing. They didn't do anything. He said, we were bad. But we had not committed any felonies at this point, right? They had not done any crimes of murder or anything to this extent. And so there was three people put on trial, and they all got sent to prison for this murder. And so they spent probably 10 years or so in prison until they came up with some DNA evidence that said that it was not this man. And so they let him go, but they still couldn't find the DNA, who it was and stuff. So he was always this kind of person of suspicion. And so he found the Lord during this time, and Pastor Pat ended up baptizing him. And so we watched that. But there was a segment, and it was with Dave Hunt, and he's sitting there, and there's another man sitting next to him that was part of the gang at the time, and they're interviewing him. This other man is just angry, and he's mad, and he's bitter, right? And Dave Hunt is sitting there, and he's kind of laughing and stuff, because they're saying, you know, he was wrongly committed. He served 10-plus years in prison. Both of these men did. And he looks at the other man, and he's like, brother, you got to let that anger go. You've got to let it go. It is going to eat you up alive. He looks at him, and I said, and at that point, we didn't know which one was Dave Hunt. I said, that's Dave Hunt. I said, that's the one he baptized. You get to see his countenance and stuff. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about a root of bitterness, about not letting bitterness take root. Okay? Don't let bitterness take root. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Whoop, whoop. Starting in verse 12. He says, wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright, for you know how that afterward, that he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Right?
We're going to be concentrating on verse 15 here. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubles you, and thereby defiles many. So this root of bitterness, this refers to a deep-seated resentment in one's heart. And if not dealt with, it will continue to grow and has terrible consequences. It can result in defiling the one who is bitter and can even spread to the congregation. That's what a root of bitterness will do. So what causes bitterness? So the first thing that I think causes bitterness can be our circumstances. Basically what we go through in life, right? This can cause bitterness. See, in Hebrews specifically here, it's referring to an attitude of bitter resentment towards God's discipline instead of a humble submission to His will for our lives. If you back up a little bit, he's talking about being disciplined, being chastened of the Lord, right? And so specifically, it's talking about here, this idea of discipline is not only about correction, but it's about a loving training from a parent, from a loving parent in righteousness, right? So God's discipline, God's training us is always for our benefits. It's always for our benefit. But going through circumstances in life, whether or not we're being disciplined by the Lord, folks, just plain circumstances in life, right? We're on mountain and we're in valleys, are we not? We will go through stuff on this earth. And so just plain life, just plain circumstances can create bitterness if we're not careful. Just going through life. Now, when Pastor Jay opens up sermon, what does he say? God is good. And what do we say? All the time. And then we say, all the time, God is good. This is something that, folks, most churches open up service like this. You can hear this all Sunday morning, just about in most churches, right? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. But the question is this a ritual or do we really believe it? Is it ritual or do we really believe this? Do we really believe that God is good all the time? Because our ability or inability to flow with our circumstances in life will come from our belief or disbelief in the goodness of God. Our ability to flow with the circumstances of life are going to come from this. We have got to get this settled, folks. Okay? It's going to come from our belief or our disbelief in the goodness of God. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, right? All things not are good, he says. All things work together for good. Okay? So God, no matter what we're going through, no matter what circumstances we're going through, we have to trust that God is working it out for our benefit. Because what? God is good. Right? If we are truly confident of God's goodness, we will be able to trust the circumstances that God allows to come into our lives. Right? Goodness is the very nature of God. It's His nature. So it's not just something that he you know, a characteristic. It's His nature. God is good. So I'm going to say a few things, and I want you to repeat after me. I want you to repeat, not after me, I'm sorry. I want you to repeat, God is good, when I say something. Okay? So I'm going to say, I got a promotion.
God is good.
I got married.
God is good.
I got a new house. I had a baby.
God is good.
My husband left me for another woman.
God is good.
I had cancer.
God is good.
My child died.
God is good.
Do you believe it? Because he's either good all the time. Right? We have to get that settled in our spirit. Otherwise, you're going to be shaken with your circumstances. And you're going to go through stuff and you're going to become bitter. You ever seen someone lose their child and still continue to praise God and say he is good? I have. And it is humbling. It's humbling. Because you either believe it and it's settled in your spirit, or you don't. And when you go through things, you're going to become bitter. Do we really trust in God's goodness? See, we are constantly assessing God and evaluating his goodness. We are constantly assessing God and evaluating his goodness. So how do we guard against this type of bitterness? We must settle the question of God's goodness once and for all. Can you believe with all your heart that God is working things out for good no matter what happens in your life? Job did. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, that's not just a story. It's not just a fun story we tell about Job. It was a real man that went through real circumstances in life that lost everything and could still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? You got to settle it now. If bitterness is not dealt with, it can lead to a hardened heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Starting in verse 7. He says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in that day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Folks, bitterness will lead to a hardened heart. That hardened heart is not a good place to be in. Because then you don't hear from the Holy Spirit. Oh, and then you're in a bad place. We must not allow our hearts to grow cold and hard through rough times. We can't. Settle it. Settle it now. Settle it this night. God is good. Folks, you don't know what you're going to go home to. You don't know what can happen on the way home. God is good. We must humbly submit to God when we go through discipline. And we need to be thankful in all of our situations. That's praising him in the storm. It's one of my favorite songs by Casting Crown, man. I love that song. I'll praise you in the storm and I will lift my hands. Right? For you are who you are no matter where I am. Right? He's good all the time. No matter what I go through, he's still good. No matter what happens, he's still good. Right? So, the second thing that we need to watch out for in bitterness is other people's attacks can cause us to become bitter. Other people can cause us to become bitter. Amen, somebody? The devil's after us, and he will use whatever means necessary to hurt us, even other Christians. I cannot even tell you how many people I have heard say they turned away from God or just stopped coming to church because of the actions and words of other Christians. Happens all the time. There's a reason that people say Christians eat their own. It causes bitterness. Now listen, we need to guard, we need to watch what we say to other people and our actions and stuff like that. But we need to be aware that that's going to come against us. Okay? Because it can cause bitterness. It can cause bitterness. And maybe you won't turn from God, but you'll be bitter towards that person, and then it begins to leak into the congregation. Okay? That's what that thing does. So when I was a baby Christian, now I got saved in a United Pentecostal church in the South, and for some of y'all that don't know what that is, it's the one that's women don't wear makeup, you don't cut your hair, you don't show your elbows, you don't show your knees. It did not fit me very good, I can tell you that much. But so anyways, because I wanted to be used of God in this church, so I did what they asked me to do. Well, I worked with a youth group, and our youth group was going to Astroworld, which is it's a Six Flags in Houston, right? Folks, it's the middle of summer in Houston, Texas, okay? So I wore a sundress. Now, not strapless, mind you. It was probably about like this. It had little bitty sleeves on it, not necessarily a cap sleeve, a little bit of sleeve, right? Just a little bit of sleeve. And it was past my knees, but it was a cotton flowery dress. And all the other girls that I went with, they wore the long, down to their ankle, blue jean dresses, and I'm just like, y'all are crazy. Because you're going to pass out, especially if you're twirling around a lot, you know? And so, we go to, there was a reverend that lived in Houston that my best friend stayed with at that time, and I went to pick her up. And me and this other girl walk in, and they stayed with this reverend that was a big wig in my denomination in Houston. And this wife looks right at me and like at the other girl, and she's like, well, at least some people are still modest when they go out. And I've been saved like a year. You know, and like if I would allowed that to, I could have just said, well, forget y'all, I'm never coming back. You know, because people don't think when they say stuff like that, obviously. This was an older woman, and she should have known better, for one thing, to even say that to a new Christian, regardless of what she said or anything. You know, right? I had another woman one time come up to me and tell me I was in rebellion because I had on lip gloss. I was sinning, man. I had on some lip gloss. I know. Hey, I'm just giving y'all some examples that you can get some bitterness. My best friend used to, not now anymore. We're not best friends anymore. But she told me that Pastor Matt and I's church was part of the End Time Apostate Church. I had my own sister write on her Facebook wall that I was a wolf in sheep's clothing and unforgiving for everybody to see. Folks, offenses are going to come. It's how we deal with them and how we react to them. Those things hurt, and I can laugh about it now, but at that time, it was very painful. It was very hurtful. And if I allowed any bitterness to come inside me, folks, bitterness ruins me. It hurts the person that's bitter. And if not dealt with, it will leak out. And it will affect other relationships around you. It permeates. Make no mistake about it. It's ugly, and it will permeate the atmosphere. The wicked seek to devour the righteous. See, when we put ourselves out there, when we proclaim Jesus is Lord, and we're bold about it, now I've had people tell me, oh, I've never been persecuted. No one's ever said anything to me. And I'm like, well, what are you putting yourself out there? Because if you put yourself out there, you're going to get attacked. I'm not saying stand on the corner, you know, repent. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying being a bold witness for Christ, you will get under attack. You will come under attack. And Satan comes immediately because he does not like it when we step out in order to minister to other people. He doesn't like it at all. And so he comes immediately, right? And he uses people. Satan will use people. Once you do that, folks, people start looking at you under a microscope, man. We have a neighbor in our neighborhood. Neighbor in our neighborhood. How interesting. that told one of our friends up at the school that they watch Matt and I like a hawk. They actually told someone that they watched us like a hawk. And I was like, okay. Just because they knew we were pastors. They were waiting for us to do something wrong. People will actually wait for you to fail. They will, right, brother? Yeah, you know. People will wait for you to fail so they can condemn you. I see it all the time. It's happened to me a lot. Looking for something, just sitting there and waiting. And the Lord has warned me about this before. The Lord has warned me about people, which I'm like, I don't know why I feel this way about them, but I know that God was warning me about them, and come to find out, as soon as I did something they didn't like, they found an accusation against me, right? They wait. Well, it's not them, it's the spirit behind that. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he's called. The accuser of the brethren. So he looks for areas, he looks for times in order to accuse us. And if we're caught unaware, folks, if we don't take care of it, what did I say? Did I miss something? If we're not careful about that, we can become bitter. Let me read some of these Psalms to you. So Psalm 37. Look at verse 1. He says, "Do not fret yourself because of evil doers. Do not be envious against the workers of iniquity." Verse 12, it says, "The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth." The wicked plots against the just. Verse 14, "The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright in conversation." They're seeking after the righteous to attack them. Look at Psalm 64, verses 1 through 6. He says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately, and they say, 'Who shall see them?' They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep." They are looking to attack. And that is the spirit of Antichrist, folks, that's in the world. It's the spirit of the accuser of the brethren that wants to attack the upright in heart. The perfect in heart. And when he says perfect in heart, that just means those whose heart is to serve God. Amen? Offenses are going to come. They are going to come. But we need to choose how we react to others' attacks. We can become bitter, or we can choose to forgive and pray for them. Folks, we have free will. We choose how we react to offenses, okay? Look at Psalm 35. I want to show you what King David did. Psalm 35, verse 11 through 15, he says, "False witnesses did rise up against me, and they laid to my charge things that I did not know." So here's lies against him. They charged him with things that he didn't know anything about. He says, "They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul." He says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth." So it means he was mourning and fasting for them when they were sick. He says, I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourns for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I did not know it. They did tear me and cease not. He fasted and prayed and mourned for those people, for the people that were hurting him, that were coming against him. And that's what we're supposed to do, right? Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that falsely accuse you. It's hard to pray for someone that hurts you. It's hard to pray for someone that falsely accuses you. It's hard to pray for someone that does something to your kids. That's even the harder one sometimes, right? Right? But we have to choose forgiveness. We choose forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't come naturally, folks. We choose to forgive. Otherwise, that bitterness will creep in. If we do not forgive, if we don't let it go, if we don't pray for them, if we don't mourn for their situation, bitterness will creep in and it will harm us. It will affect us. So we need to choose how we react to those situations. So the number three, bitterness. Sin can cause bitterness toward God. Living in sin, unconfessed sin, will cause a bitterness towards God. Because it is enmity with God. And one of the things that I've been praying about lately that I feel like is going on in the church is that we have put the cart before the horse. Who knows what the first commandment is? The first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your body, soul, right? Love God and then love others. And what we have done, what I believe the church has done, is loved man in man's ways above God in God's ways for the sake of love. And we call it love. Have we not seen this in the church, folks? That we have elevated man in man's ways above God in God's ways. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God. Love Him. Love His ways. Love His word. And then we can love man. But when we begin to love man and elevate man and elevate man's ways above God's ways, we've got it backwards. And then things are all lopsided and it all just goes wrong and astray. Because it's like when women, I'm just here to tell you, your husband's the head of the household. It's like when you try to usurp authority over your husband. Boy, the household is in disarray. It's true, I've seen it. So we have to watch the sin in our lives, folks. In Deuteronomy 29, and this is what the Israelites did. He says, "For I know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols, which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood, and so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my own heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober." So that's what the Israelites did, is that when they passed through the nations, they took on all the nations' ways. They were elevating man above God is what they did, folks. They elevated man and man's ways above God and God's ways. They took on what these pagans were doing. And so God says, now you are under a curse. You've allowed bitterness to creep in, and it has defiled the whole nation. That's what was going on. God's chosen people here wanted to walk in their own sinful ways, yet claim to have peace with God. These people compared to a root of bitterness that spread defilement and death like a poison throughout the congregation. Because it wasn't the nation as a whole, but it was some people that, because it was not dealt with, that bitterness toward God, because they began to take on the other nation's ways, the other man's ways that wasn't God's ways, incorporating it into God's ways, trying to say, I have peace with God, yet following their own ways. Right? And so, because of them, it created bitterness that leaked into the whole nation. These things were written down for our example. And now we say, I love the Old Testament because it's an example of what not to do. It's like, these things are written down for our example. In Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 24, this is Simon the sorcerer. He saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, and he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perishes with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. This is New Testament.
Yes, it is.
So now we're in the New Testament, right? Holy Spirit. And so we here have Simon the sorcerer that seeing these things happen, and his heart was not right. And for whatever reason, bitterness, I don't know if he was jealous, you know, because he was Simon the sorcerer, right? So I don't know if he was, if he had a bitter root of jealousy because he wanted that power. That would be my guess. But there was something going on that his heart was not right. And he said, you are in bitterness and bound by iniquity. And I love what he says to Peter. He says, pray the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. So all of a sudden he's scared. Well, you should be. Right? Folks, we have to watch that sin. This is the reason that God gives us the Word of God, that God gives us the Holy Spirit to keep those things in check. When you have the Holy Spirit, He leads us in the path of righteousness. His job is to mold us and shape us to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And so He leads us in the path of truth. He leads us in the path of righteousness. And so if we allow sin in, folks, and I'm not talking about, you know, the you stub your foot and you say, you know, oh, you say a the S word or whatever. What? So you say stupid, yeah. Thank you, Jenna. I'm not talking about those things that, you know, like, you get carried away and you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that, or, you know, in the heat of the moment, or even sometimes, right? Listen, I'm not talking about those things that are, you know, we say something to somebody and we're like, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that, right? There's sins that are just, I don't want to say you fall into it, but just we get caught up sometimes in stuff with our flesh and we get carried away. And after a while we go back and like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Right? Trying to make it right. I'm talking about purposeful, rebellious sin that says, I know what God says, but I'm going to choose not to do what God says. Because that is a bad place to be. It creates enmity between us and God. It creates bitterness, creates hardness of heart. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And so we have to watch that, folks. We have to watch that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is the last scripture, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 4. So how do we protect ourselves from allowing this sin and bitterness to creep in? He says, verse 22, he says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man. He says, put off that old man that you were, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put away from you lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Do not be angry, and do not sin in your anger. And do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's what it is right there, the last part. Do not give place to the devil. Folks, can I just tell you, and maybe you don't realize this, I did a long time ago, the devil is sneaky. He is sneaky, and he's manipulative. He is real. If you don't think he's real, well, you're fooled. You're deceived. He's already got you. You're way deceived. He's already got you in this. You have to understand your enemy, okay? He does not fight clean. Satan does not play nice. I remember I heard this one time. We think we're in a boxing match with Satan, right? Boxing has rules. We're in a street fight, right? Because Satan will beat you down, and then he will take a trash can lid, and he will beat your face in with a trash can lid. And then he will kick you twice. Where it's not so nice. We need to guard our heart and our mind. Protect that seed that God has sown. Protect it. Watch what we see and hear. Watch what you watch. Watch what you listen to. Pay attention where you go and who we allow in our lives. Read your Bible every day. And always pray continually. Amen? Amen. Don't let that root of bitterness, don't let it in. Cast it out immediately. Do not give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. He can't just come in. We give him place. Amen? Amen. Do you want to close? Okay. Pastor Jay will pray.